Taking Stock, Elections 2024.
Brought to you by PwC. ESG is about more than ticking boxes. It's about making your climate actions count. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Taking Stock News Talk Election Special. I'm Mandy Johnston. I'll be keeping you company here on News Talk for the next hour. Now, regular listeners will know at this time on a Sunday morning, we're normally looking at business and politics from here in Ireland and all around the world. But today, we've got a special show and we're going to take a deep dive into all of the elections that took place here on Friday. We'll be taking stock, see what I did there, of what we know so far. And we'll be looking at what it all means for the political parties in Ireland. We have a whopping 964 positions to be filled between the local, European and Limerick mayoral elections. So we want to get started. And if you'd like to join in the conversation today, you can WhatsApp us here on 087 1400 106 or email takingstock@newstalk.com. We're also open on Twitter at StockNT. Now, before we get stuck into the numbers, let me introduce my panel today. So here with me in studio is Iarra Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern. I'm also joined by Francis Fitzgerald, former Fine Gael Taoiseach and Minister for Justice and obviously outgoing MEP for Dublin. And I'm joined on the line by journalist for The Currency, Tommy Gorman, who's dialing in from Sligo, and also from Cork by Jonathan O'Brien, who is a former Sinn Féin TD. You're all very welcome. Now, kicking us off today is our own Sean Defoe. Sean, we absolutely have to get a run through of where we're at the moment. Overnight, what's happened and what can you tell us where we are now?
Yeah, you kind of lose the head a little bit after, don't you, after day one, between tallies and counts and everything else and all these counts going to 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. and driving us all crazy. The count centres, some of them are opening again around now, more at 10 o'clock, and the European votes starting to count in the last couple of minutes down in Nemo Rangers in Cork. We have 197 of the 949 local election seats filled at the minute. Fine Gael in the lead there with 64, Fianna Fáil not far behind with 56, Sinn Féin with 12 and the Independents with 44, and then a scattering of others around the place. Overall, the percentages are really interesting in that they're very different to what people expected. Fine Gael about 24%, Fianna Fáil 23%, and Sinn Féin only on 11.3% so far as we count, 18.6% towards the Independents. So that's where we are. We're going to get a good idea of tallies this morning, because particularly in Midlands, Northwest and Ireland South, they were very scattergun yesterday with all the different count centres being separated and brought from around the place to one central count centre. So that will give us a good idea. But there, you're probably looking at a Fine Gael and a Fianna Fáil seat in each constituency. Luke McFlanagan will probably be okay in Midlands Northwest. The Sinn Féin will be in contention for a seat in every constituency, but with 11%, particularly in Dublin, you'd have to sort of ask questions. And Lynn Boylan has gone, for example, from being very clearly one of the top three seats to now being in a battle with not only Niall Boylan at the Independent, but also a slew of other centre-left candidates, Éowyn O'Riordan, Ciarán Cuff, Claire Daly, to a lesser degree, Breed Smith as well. So that's where we are, big picture.
Very, very different from what the polls were predicting.
Yeah, massively different, especially for Sinn Féin. And we knew there was a slide coming. You could see that during the campaign and you wonder, would they be able to arrest it? But it looks much worse even than they expected during the week. People were saying that they would be under 20%. I don't think anyone thought that they would be down around 11%. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. I don't think it's any one thing. The immigration issue was obviously one, where they're being squeezed on the right side by right-leaning independents who have used that as a narrative, who have really gone after Sinn Féin in the campaign and saying that, well, they're an establishment government party now and they just let everybody in and here's what we would do. And then on the left, they've also been squeezed, where you're seeing Labour and the Greens having better days than expected, and the Social Democrats potentially as well. It's a little bit harder to see. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. I think it's probably important to say it's very different to what a general election would be. The candidates are very different in that they don't really have any local infrastructure because they had such a bad day in 2019. But a lot of factors playing into cause a very worrying day for Sinn Féin.
Yeah, no, just looking at some of the opinion polls averages, Sinn Féin were averaging over 15 opinion polls at 26%. We're a long, long way from that. And also people in the newspapers today making the point that they don't seem to have been taking cognizance that the opinion polls weren't going their way in the lead up to these elections.
No, I think there was a sort of denial of it because they couldn't really get to the root cause. They went from 36% at a peak very, very quickly in the last year down to, I think it was 22% or 20% in the last poll. And now so far, with a lot of votes still to be counted, obviously, down to 11% there. So they haven't been able to arrest that side. What a lot of people in Sinn Féin I'm talking to are saying is, look, this happened to us in 2019. We'll figure it out again. There's a lot of different factors at play. you have to look at the candidates as well. I mean, a lot of their candidates weren't great, didn't have a big background in the community. That won't be the case in a general election. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on there, but a lot for them to figure out. And fair to say, at any county centre, you ran into a Sinn Féin person yesterday, they were looking very, very glum.
Well, look, we're going to get into that in a moment. Bertie, can I bring you in here? And we full disclosure here, you and I have soldiered several times for elections like these. So it's not new territory for us. But one thing that has struck me over the last number of days is, you know, people talking about the local elections and they don't really matter. Obviously, they do matter to people. But as a leader of a party or as Taoiseach, beyond bringing new talent through, beyond finding out who the next wave of TDs are, how important are local elections important for actually implementing policy from government?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first thing, Mandy, to say, as people listen to your programme this morning, there'll be a lot of tired candidates and their families and their friends. So well done to them all, I think, collectively, because anybody who puts their name up on the ballot paper or up on lampposts and campaigns for months and ends, it's a tough task. So well done to them all for having taken part in. I far prefer democracy rather than autocracy, so it's good to see people participating. Local elections are very important. I mean, general elections come number one, but local elections are number two, because it's your base, it's your candidates, it's your teams. If you don't have councillors, if you don't have teams to canvass for you, well, you come to a general election, you're on your tod. So they are important. They're important for political organisations of all kinds, whether you call yourself non-party, independence or a political party, doesn't make any difference. Local elections are important. And it's a check. I mean, it's 4 years since we had a national poll. So it's the first time in over 4 years people have been out right across the country. So that's very important. And I think generally there was the feeling in this election that the parties in government who have been there for over 4 years would get kicked in one form or another. Mm. And the polls didn't totally indicate that, but certainly indicated that it would maybe be a huge day for people who were anti the government party. So I think overall the government parties will feel happy this morning.
Mm. Francis, you're very close to Taoiseach Simon Harris. Have you been speaking to him over the weekend? I'm sure he's going to be very happy with these figures. I've certainly been speaking to a lot of Fine Gael people over the last 24 hours, and they feel that he's had a very positive effect. But could this perhaps put a lot of pressure now on Simon Harris to maybe call an early general election? I have this vision in my mind of him. I don't know if you know that movie Braveheart, where Mel Gibson is kind of, you know, chasing up and down, trying to hold the troops back. But do you think that with all this good news for Fine Gael today,
flattered? He's had a very good election, no doubt. He's injected an absolutely new energy into the party. I mean, this is a rejection of populism, no question, in these local elections. And I agree with Bertie. They are important. The government has won these elections. They've exceeded our expectations in Fine Gael, no question of that. All you have to do is look at the polls, as you've already said, Mandy, some weeks ago. And we've some very exciting new candidates right across the country. So the talk about succession and, you know, with the numbers retiring and all, I think that there isn't a worry about that. There's a lot of choice around the country now. In Dublin, in the polls that were being presented to date, we're 20,000 votes ahead of any other party, which is huge. But definitely it's a rejection of populism. I think there was a new energy injected by Simon. There was a very good response to him all over the country. I canvassed all over Dublin and people were very warm. And I think they like his empathy, his decision making. Mm. He's made a lot of decisions very quickly, and that's what people want to see. So definitely a good day for government. Surprising when you think about those polls. But good candidates, you know, do win out in the locals. I think that's what we're seeing across the country in all of the political parties as well. And I have a question mark in relation to the independents. I mean, they're quite a disparate group, actually, when you look at them. I mean, some are right, some are people who were with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. There's quite a mixture there. So it remains to be seen how cohesive that group of independents are in the longer term.
Tommy Gorman, can I bring you in here? You've been writing about the independents in recent weeks in the Currencies. Just from yesterday's votes and what we're seeing coming through, What were you picking up that might be interesting about those independents? And Francis makes a really good point there. When we're talking about independents, it is a very varied group, isn't it?
Well, I suppose headlines, it was a huge success of an election for the government and for Simon Harris in particular. There was a sugar hit effect of the Harris presence. I think you saw some voting transfers between government parties. There was a cohesiveness in, say, the government effort. I think the Greens might have benefited from it slightly too. And Sinn Féin had a disaster of an election, nothing short of a disaster. Okay, you can say the numbers may be slightly up on what happened in 2019, slightly. But like they were at 25% after the last general election. In the opinion polls, they were over 30. And here they're down to the low teens. I think the lesson for them is there are enough people out there angry. The electorate is angry. There were very angry options available to voters. But people want policies and they want hope as well as anger. And I think Sinn Féin is going to have to reflect on that. As for the independents, I think they filled a very important space in that what there'll be 20, 24, 25% at the end of the day. But the big election is going to be the general election. And seeing a cohesive independence presence, seeing any group of independents who will go together to form a bloc that would enter into a government, that'd be sort of harder than, say, arresting some of the fundamental problems that the main parties have. You can see maybe Michael Fitzmaurice and what he's got three TDs in his group so far. They might be able to attract a few more, but you can't see any big group of independents going in. One other point to make, Mandy, you have to remember the general election is going to be for an enlarged Dáil. Mm-hmm. That will be a factor as well. But overall, Simon Harris, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan will be saying for people who've been in power for a long time, yesterday was a great day.
Jonathan O'Brien, can I bring you in now here just to talk about Sinn Féin? Have they peaked too soon?
No, I mean, look, the local elections were this weekend and obviously we are looking at an increased vote share, albeit small, and we are looking at an increased number of elected reps on behalf of the party. So from that sense, we are coming out of this election in a better place than we came out of 2019. And I think once the general election comes around, you know, they're two different, totally different elections. And if history has taught us everything, you can't read into the next general election based on the performance of the party in this local election. I mean, people saw the difference between 2019 and 2020. So while we have increased our vote share and we have increased the number of elected reps, it is nevertheless a disappointing election for us, and it's something we will reflect on. But I just think at this stage, there's still a lot to play for, still a lot of votes to be counted, and we'll see where we are maybe at the end of today.
Yeah, well, you have picked up slightly from 2019, but you're starting from a very low base, first of all. And I suppose the question around all of this is that after the last number of years, we've had a pandemic, a cost of living crisis, war on our doorstep. Housing, according to Sinn Féin, has not been solved or even a dent put in that. So against that backdrop, why do you think it is that Sinn Féin aren't making any gains?
Well, we are making gains, and that's what I just said. I mean, all you know, there are a small number of gains, but we are coming out of this election in a better place. But it is disappointing, as I said, and it's something we're going to have to reflect and analyse over the coming weeks and months before the next general election. I mean, we talk about housing. Housing has been a complete failure. It is the biggest issue out in the doors. 14,000 people homeless. People talk about Sinn Féin and our policies, but the policies that the government have are not working. And we need to look into that. We need to drill down into that and see why it is that government parties fared reasonably well in these local elections, despite being the cause of so many problems in society.
Bertie, Sinn Féin need to look at their policies. Do you think that's what's...
Yeah, I think they, you know, after any election, a party is going to have a review and see where they are. But I suppose the problem for Sinn Féin, and it's no easy answer, and as you come into the autumn, and if your politics tends to run from the autumn to the summer, you're on 30, 32, 33% of the vote. and you end up with 12 or 13. That takes a big review. Now, admittedly, Sinn Féin will say in their own analysis that there are 10 big hitters were not really part of this campaign. And maybe the other parties can say the same. But I think when you take their big names out, they don't seem to have that same performance level. And the other issue, I think, for them is that the immigration issue was a big issue. It's not that I think people responded to Simon Harris had taken action. They didn't believe he could solve the whole thing, but he was active for the last number of weeks. And Sinn Féin were caught, I think, between a lot of different parties pulling different ways on it. And they didn't seem to be saying anything. And I think that was part of their problem. And then the other one is housing. I personally think when they came out saying they were going to build houses for 300,000 in Dublin, you know, there were a lot of people, housing is their number one concern, there's no doubt about that. But they didn't take that. They just didn't buy that. If you put forward policies, they have to be credible. And I think in the review, they'd be looking at those two or three issues. In fact, I never saw fewer issues in the campaign.
It was a very odd campaign in the sense that...
Like, I canvassed in your old ground the other day, Francis, out in the Castleknock area. And after being out for over 3 hours, nobody had mentioned health. And I said, God, when was the last time I canvassed and I didn't get
helped? We're actually just we're lots of issues there, Bertie, that you've picked up on, and no doubt some that people will want to come back on. But we're going to take an ad break for now. You're listening to News Talks Taking Stock, and we have an election special. After the break, we're going to be widening our discussion to look at also the European elections and what the picture looks like from around the country on those. So our panel are going to stay with us, and we hope you do too.
Taking Stock, Elections 2024.
Brought to you by PwC. Empowering your business with deep industry expertise and tech-powered innovation. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
Moncrief. Kevin says my mom used to freeze fish and chips from the chipper and Dorky, and I'd bring them in the bag to my brother in New York. Someone else says my son was fined $400 in New Zealand for having an apple in his bag. It worked out well as he met a guy who forgot he had an onion, I know, in his bag. And he struck up a friendship.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Imagine you, to Electric Ireland, a gen of Gno Nis Clishta, Agasail Nis Gila.
This is the sound of a place where you can live, work, play, or simply take a break.
Any plans for the weekend?
This is the sound of Midlands Ireland, where everything connects. Plan your visit at midlandsireland.ie.
Being a Garda Reserve will change your life, but it can also change someone else's. I'm Kevin, and in all my years as a social worker, I've built up many skills in communicating with vulnerable adults and children. I've always thought about becoming a Garda, but having seen my mother join as a Garda Reserve, it made me realise I could use my communication skills to help the service. Being on the ground and helping with community interaction is extremely rewarding and, above all, helpful for the team. The experience has been fantastic groundwork towards my next move into full-time Garda training. Being a Garda is a tough job, and that's why being a Garda Reserve is a job worth doing. Apply now at publicjobs.ie.
Copper is incredible. Sure, isn't that why Alexander Graham Bell used it? It's a perfect connection to the 19th century. Modern life needs modern technology. Ciro has always been fibre first. They get you up to speed with super fast, reliable, future-proofed fibre broadband. Get it through their retail partners like DigiWeb, Pure, Sky, Vodafone and others at ciro.ie today. Ciro, do life different. Subject to availability and location. Oh, lovely.
Taking Stock, Elections 2024.
Brought to you by PwC. Combining deep industry expertise with next generation technology to drive business success. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
This is News Talk.
Now, you're welcome back to this special edition of Taking Stock, looking at the elections. In studio with me is Iarr Taoiseach, Bertie Hearn, and also outgoing MEP for Dublin and former Taoiseach Francis Fitzgerald on the line. I'm joined by Tommy Gorman from The Currency and Jonathan O'Brien, who's a former Sinn Féin TD from Cork. Francis, you wanted to pick up on something that a point that Jonathan was making before the break.
Yes, just a point, a commentary on Sinn Féin's approach to these elections. What was interesting is that Mary Lou strategically chose, even though we say local elections, you know, second order election and so on, she deliberately chose to make it about change and as change on the path to the general election. And quite clearly, that fell on deaf ears when you see the way the public responded. They didn't tune into this idea of the government being there for too long, etc., etc. They just rejected that in a very wholehearted way. So I think it's an interesting commentary on the strategy that she chose. So now to say, oh, these were just second order election, they deliberately positioned it as on the path to the general election and make the change start here. And the change did not start here. Instead, we got support for the government parties.
Jonathan, the electorate have rejected your call for change and the status quo in centre is held. What's your response?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, look, anyone who's talking to people on the doors, and I'm sure Francis has been talking to people on the door, and what's coming back is people need change. We need a change in direction in terms of 14,000 people homeless. We need a change in direction. I mean, Buckley was talking about policies and policies being credible. His own party's policy on affordable housing in Dublin is nearly over 500,000. That's what Fianna Fáil think is affordable. And I think anyone who was out canvassing, as I was, there is an appetite for change. Did it manifest itself in the local elections? It did to a certain degree. When you consider that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens are down in terms of their vote share, albeit a small decrease, and they are going to lose a number of seats as well. And I don't think anyone can say that the appetite for change is not there. But change is a long, long journey. And it'll have its ups and its downs. And, you know, we'll see this come next general election what the appetite for change is really there in terms of the results of that.
We certainly will. And we'll see how long Sinn Féin get to regroup and look at the issues that have presented themselves for them in this election. Jonathan, I know you have to go off to the count there, but we really do appreciate your time. And thank you very much for joining with us today. That was Jonathan O'Brien, former Sinn Féin TD for Cork. Thank you very much for being with us today. Tommy, can I bring you in here now? I just want to start moving along, if we can, to the European side of things. Can you give us your assessment based on what we know so far about how things might shake up on the European front and who would be appointed MEPs for the various different parties?
I think a factor you have to take into account with European elections is they're almost like the Eurovision Song Contest. And name recognition is very important. And say, for instance, the constituency that I live in, it's 13 counties, absolutely huge. So it was people who had, say, good postering, like, say, Maria Walsh. The Carberry factor was there, somebody who's known. The Mullooly factor, the fellow off the telly, that figures. Ming Flanagan is very, very good at presenting himself, an amazing communicator. And say you had an element of that, say, with the Boylan constituency, the Independent in Dublin, who is a known, say, radio personality as well. These things come to the fore. How it's looking, Sinn Féin might be able to say, look, we had only one seat the last time and we've doubled our numbers or we've trebled our numbers. They may get three. Might be a struggle to get three. Here, say, for instance, in this constituency, they put up two candidates. And I think they were hoping that the brand would carry Michelle Gildernew and Chris McManus rather than the name recognition. And I'm not sure if that strategy is going to work. I think it'll be a good election for the two main government parties. You can see Fine Gael certainly taking one, maybe two in this constituency. An outside chance of two. Fianna Fáil should take one. You can see the same probably happening in Dublin, in the Dublin, that Dublin area, and maybe the same happening in the south as well. So What you'll get from it is, I think you'll get some sucker for the government. I think they'll be quite satisfied with their performance. And Sinn Féin, I'd say, will learn the lesson that the brand isn't sufficient.
Mm. That's a very interesting point about the brand, Bertie, isn't it? Because one of the arguments about Sinn Féin now is that they didn't put enough candidates forward in 2020 and didn't maximise the potential of the brand. Now, it's like the Goldilocks thing. They had too little, now they've got too many. Is there some sort of feeling coming through that maybe they've taken the polls and their support for them for granted a little bit?
Well, in fairness to them, I think they got a lot of criticism the last time that if they had have stood second candidates in areas, they definitely would have got two seats. And if I recall right, I think it was about 11 seats that they arguably lost by not having sufficient candidates. Now, in some areas, they stood more candidates maybe than they needed. But if you take that huge constituency of McManus and Gildernewton, it's a massive constituency. You can't blame anyone really for standing two candidates.
But the way they're polling, they're so low.
Yeah, but that's the extraordinary thing. I think what I thought would happen in the three constituencies, I thought Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin would each win one seat. And maybe Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil would get an extra seat. So that was 10 of the 14. Now, it still might turn out that way. It still could turn out that way. So there'll be only four independents. And, you know, We'll see if Ming was going to be one of those. See what the Greens would get. Will they get one or will they get two? Will they get any? So that's difficult for them. So I think that today we should really be careful about the European ones, because we've only really very patchy tellers figures, and even some of the teller figures. I heard yesterday people quoting boxes. You know, to be honest, I know we all have to fill the airtime with it, but
yeah, and look, yeah, we have got to say that the counting is only beginning. Yeah, the results can't be announced
for Europe. I think it's still, but maybe have to wait till the morning.
Francis, can we just look at Europe in maybe a little bit of a wider context, please? You've been out there for the last number of years, and you've seen the way the landscape has maybe changed over those years, and I mean, I got a sense, I don't know if you did, but that there's a growing appreciation how prevalent Europe is in all our lives in terms of them setting the rules and making the regulations. But what have you taken away so far from this discussion around Europe and how it might be shaping up for us? Because Fine Gael are doing very well, and we'll come to that in a moment and how that might have happened. But from a wider perspective, how do we fit into that?
Well, it's very early days, definitely, here yet. I think there will be some surprises and some very surprising results, it looks like at present, but it is too early to say. But it did look like 3-3-3, you know. But I think that's changing slightly. And Tommy mentioned Nina and he mentioned Maria. There is a possibility of two there. But to go back to the wider situation in Europe, these elections are very important. I mean, I would say in relation to the Irish result versus Europe, it's great to see that, if you like, the defence of democracy. And that's really important as opposed to populism. What we're seeing in Europe is definitely, and all the predictions say, there'll be a move to the right. You're seeing this in Italy. You're seeing it in France. You're going to see big numbers coming in from France on the right, from Italy on the right. The general feeling is that the majorities are going to shift probably to the right. Looks like it's a very difficult day for the Greens across Europe. There's a projected loss of 16 seats for Greens across Europe. A lot of impatience with the pace of the implementation of the Green Deal. And so I think seeing what the majority is going to be, it was certainly centre-left for the last 5 years. Mm. And some very progressive, I have to say, legislation and directives pushed through, very good on gender equality, for example, very good on the Green Deal. But of course, what's happening in Europe is defence and security are coming to the fore. I mean, the preoccupation of Ukraine and, of course, Palestine and Israel, Gaza. But the preoccupation, particularly of Ukraine and the aggression, my Eastern European colleagues in the parliament are terrified that if Russia wins, it's into Moldova, it's into other countries. They have no faith that it will stop. And there's that real worry about it. So defence and security, a new defence commissioner, that's the mood in Europe of huge concern in relation to the defence of Europe.
Yeah,
and also the geopolitics with Trump in America.
Yeah.
What does that mean for Europe?
And as Bertie said, like the issues in this election were kind of very small, marginal, and there weren't that many of them. Tommy, I want to bring you in something that Francis said there about the Green Deal, because your former colleague, Ciara Mullooly, is doing quite well, and his agenda, as set out, was all about this Green Deal and the opposition to it moving too fast, and that this just transition is just simply anti-rural. That kind of candidacy, where it's a single item, and even the celebrity candidacy, how do you think that that's played out for people like Ciaran, and as Francis said, also for Carberry, who are both doing very, very well at the moment?
I think the celeb factor figures in European elections because of the size of the constituencies. Like Maria Walsh's postering was spectacularly successful. And I know the tallies from, say, the whole of Sligo for the Europeans. And Maria Walsh, who doesn't live in the constituency, is topping the poll. That's significant. Chris McManus, who comes from the constituency, the Sinn Féin candidate, he's coming in second. So I think that celeb factor does figure in European elections in a way that wouldn't translate into a general election. But what I think is significant about Mullooly, Mullooly is part of that Michael Fitzmaurice. And they are actually a group now. They formed this independent group, and he has three TDs in that group. And I think Mullooly's significance is he indicates something that is happening in rural Ireland. I think that Fitzmaurice camp will grow. I'd be interested to see how many more TDs formally attach themselves to it. Now, it's a very definite rural Ireland thing.
Mm.
They'll take councillors in the local elections. They may get a European seat. They have a presence in the Dáil. And when you start looking at, say, how the general election is going to shape up, you can see that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have now decided that our job is to keep the Shinners out. We go as a brand. And Sinn Féin have to grow to the extent that they can force their way into being part of some coalition.
Mm.
If Mary Lou MacDonald doesn't manage that on her watch in the next general election, then her whole strategy is a failure. And it's now boiled down, I think it's made quite clear from this general election. And you heard, say, Francis' comments picking up on something that Jonathan had said. You can see where that's going. It's just going to be a bare-knuckle contest right up to the next general election. Keep the Shinners out, and the Shinners trying to force their way in.
Mm.
And the significance of Mullooly and Fitzmaurice and that group is, what role might they play? What numbers might they bring to the table? And will they be willing to enter into a coalition to make up a government if that's what's required after the next general election?
Bertie, just very briefly before we have to go to an ad break again, I wanted to ask you about that very issue of the transfers between the two parties, because it seems that without even a formal transfer pact or call for transfers, that Fine Gael and Fine Gael are just transferring to each other quite easily,
well,
in a way that you wouldn't have seen in the past.
No, certainly if it turns out as the tally people were saying yesterday in Dublin, there was certainly both Barry and Regina were transferring strongly to each other. So whether that happens everywhere, I'm not too sure, but certainly it was happening in Dublin. I think in the local elections in Dublin there was a certain amount of that too. So we'll be wiser later on the European thing, but I do think if the transfers were to work out that way in Europe, it could well happen that either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael could end up getting a second seat in the constituencies.
You're listening to a special edition of Taking Stock. We're looking at the elections. My thanks to Tommy Gorman, journalist with The Currency, who's going to leave us now. But Francis Fitzgerald and Bertie Ahern are staying with us. And after the break, we'll be looking at how the various parties are spinning these results this morning. It's the morning after the night before, so don't go anywhere.
Taking Stock, Elections 2024.
Brought to you by PwC. Empowering your business with deep industry expertise and tech-powered innovation. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
Make Father's Day simply better and celebrate Dad with a feast. Fire up the barbecue for chicken wings, Irish Angus beef burgers and award-winning Irish Angus steaks. Or choose from a delicious range of antipasti favourites. Save 20% on Simply Better wines from around the world and finish with a selection of Italian-made gelato. Plus, you can save at the till with a 10 off 50 grocery voucher. Dunn Stores, always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used on next grocery shop of €50 or more. Voucher excludes alcohol. Please drink sensibly.
Home improvements are well worth making, especially when they build towards a more sustainable future for us all. SSE Airtricity is here to help with the Generation Green Home Upgrade. From insulation, heating, solar panels, windows and doors to full home retrofits, we're your one-stop shop for energy solutions to suit all budgets. It's a simple, hassle-free process with end-to-end project management and a streamlined SEAI grant application process. So make some home improvements that will make a real difference at sseairtricity.com/home upgrade. Registered with the SEAI for home energy upgrades. Grants offered are provided by the Government of Ireland to the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland.
Being a Garda reserve will change your life, but it can also change someone else's. I'm Sabrina and I work as a flight operations officer in Dublin Airport. I need to be able to think quickly and stay calm. It's good to be able to apply these skills when I work with the Garda reserve. Being part of the team at the station opens up the community to me. It teaches you about society, humanity, vulnerability and justice. What the Gardaí do is challenging and demanding, so to be a part of what they give back is extremely rewarding. Being a Garda is a tough job, and that's why being a Garda reserve is a job worth doing. Apply now at publicjobs.ie.
Westport, the perfect holiday destination for friends and family this summer. Enjoy Westport House and new Westport Adventure Park. Stretch the legs with Westport walking tours or take in one of our many festivals. It's time to find new adventures in Westport. Plan your perfect adventure now at destinationwestport.com.
Taking Stock, Elections 2024.
Brought to you by PwC. Combining deep industry expertise with next generation technology to drive business success. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back to a special edition of Taking Stock, where we're looking at the elections for 2024. In studio, I still have Aoife Bertie Ahern and former Taoiseach and outgoing Dublin MEP Francis Fitzgerald with me. And I'm delighted to be also joined by Christina Finn, political editor of The Journal. And back with us is our own Sean Defoe to give us an update. Where are we at, Sean?
Yeah, so boxes have been opening around the country and people have been rolling out of bed, as we were saying off air, to get back to the counting after some very, very late ones last night and maybe a few trips to the pub by some candidates who will remain nameless. The boxes and the Europeans have been sorted down to their three counting centres. We don't have any tally information on them yet because they're literally still in being massive piles of boxes and being sorted out into who they think would be favourites. So we should get a bit of a tally, but it'll be a couple of hours yet before we've a bit of a clearer picture on who those European runners and riders, the ones actually in the shake-up, are going to be.
Christine, this is my favourite part. What is the spin coming out of the various different parties this morning?
Yeah, well, with the Green Party now, I bumped into Eamon Ryan yesterday and asked him, you know, are you happy enough? He seemed a bit nervous, I think, particularly around the Ciarán Cóiff seat, but did seem a bit relieved that I think the Dublin vote in particular had turned up and perhaps... as one person said, you know, the Green voters turned out and voted because they thought the policies that the Green Party had promised somewhat have been delivered, and the people that wanted to give out about them, you know, maybe didn't turn out or didn't give them a wallop in terms of taking any seats away from them. So he seemed pretty optimistic. In terms of other spin, I suppose Fianna Fáil seem pretty relieved is what I would say. I think they're saying that...
You seem a little bit obsessed with the opinion polls as well.
Which is unusual because Micheál Martin's always at pains to say that he doesn't look at opinion polls. But they seem to be happy enough, I think. But he did say, I think, down in Cork yesterday, perhaps, you know, hedging his bets for the general, that the local elections don't always translate into general. Yeah. So...
And in fairness, they have a case as well. They're coming in those opinion polls at 16%, and that's not what's shown up today.
Yeah, like they're really...
What about Fine Gael, Christine? Can they contain their glee?
Yeah, not really. Now, Regina Doherty yesterday was speaking about, I know we have the new energy, and she was talking about a high energy campaign, so it's all about the energy. I thought it was... I thought it was interesting that she thanked Leo Varadkar for you know, being by her side throughout the campaign. But when asked, you know, about, you know, would it perhaps have been a different story had he stuck around for this election, she was saying she thought it would be a tougher fight.
Well, I tell you, somebody from Fine Gael on Friday said to me, if only he'd left sooner, we'd be doing even better. So,
well, I hope he's not listening to this morning.
Francis, just can I bring you in there on that? Like, because Christine has mentioned that, you know, there's that new energy. There's lots of stuff being done by Simon Harris. To my mind, he's doing very well, but he's kind of running the pace of a sprint. But this is a marathon. Like, how is he going to maintain this type of momentum?
I think that's why talk of an early election is wide off the mark, because what he's interested in is not just the energy that he's put into this campaign, and he certainly has, but about delivery for the people. And he's very focused on that. And the one thing I know about him is that he is a decision maker. Mm. And I think leadership and decision making really matter. And he's made those decisions on migration. It's complex. It's not the end of the story. But I read some research recently on the European elections that said, you know, when people, when the public feel, and we're very grateful to the public, but when the public feel that a decision has been acted on, the anxiety levels about the issue go down. And I think that's what he has been doing. And people see him as a decision maker. Mm. And he does want to go on delivering for the people. And he needs time to do that. And also, as a party, of course, with the, you know, people leaving, there's, we now have, as I said already, some very good options in the constituencies where people are not continuing.
Bertie, that's true. You know, it's all about delivery now and fulfilling the promises and stuff. Maintaining that momentum is not easy. It's like being Taoiseach is a difficult job. And he did set out a number of priorities when he came in. And how do you feel he's handled his first couple of weeks?
He's doing very well. There's no doubt about that. And he's a guy of energy. And he is, Francis is right. He makes decisions. And you know, sometimes you get them right and sometimes you get them wrong, but there is an appreciation that if you make a decision and you stand by the decision, and okay, if you get it wrong, you have to sometimes back off it. But he carries all of that. The issue, I think, Micheál Martin said yesterday correctly, that next item on the agenda is the budget, getting the budget and the financial framework for the next few years into place. And that has to take place. That'll take precedence. The summer will come and summer will go into September, October. I always went full term, but I always went summer elections. Going full term into the lovely days of February where it's dark at 4:30, I'm not so sure about that, but it one step at a time. I think you have the budget, the whole financial framework. It's not just the budget; it's everything that goes with that, and that becomes the priority. And I think that will set out the trend for the government going forward. And of course, all the pressures of Europe now is, you know, what Francis said earlier on about Europe. What's going to happen with Eastern Europe? Are we going to have a different kind of a makeup in the parliament? They're all pressure points, and the Taoiseach of the day has to spend a lot of time on the international issues. That's the way it is. So, he just can't be here all the time. So they're all pressures. So, I still think, you know, I still think an election later in the year is probably the wiser thing. Otherwise, you run into February, March, but. But I think the main thing is to get the budget right, and the date then becomes maybe not that relevant. Mm.
The prospect of by-elections plays anything into the time, because there'll probably be at least two, maybe three. And if you're trying to keep that momentum going, it's obviously a big risk to take.
Yeah, well, it looks, it depends what Barry Cowan presumably is. That's definitely a by-election, but there may not be.
Maybe Kathleen Funch.
I think that's probably fairly definite. I think if they're going to win a seat, it'll be hard.
Yeah, I think we're already probably going to be hearing from Fine Gaelers, looking at if Fine Gael do as well as expected, you know, is there a temptation here to cut and run?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But if you're a Fine Gael, I mean, Fine Gael have definitely, from what I've seen yesterday, they've come up with a lot of new faces, good candidates who've got very good votes. Nobody can take that away from them. So they're going to be able to fill their slots fairly quick.
Definitely.
Now, those people have, men and women, they have done their canvassing now. So in some ways, if I was allotted them, I'd rather an autumn election, because, you know, going around in February, you know, to be honest, February elections are crazy anyway.
And actually, if you look at the cycle, and they did stay till the end, till February or March of next year, it's exactly the same cycle as 2019, where they allow Sinn Féin time to regroup and come back. So it's almost like, you know, they've got them in the corner now. Do they press ahead or do they allow them time? Because they were good at regrouping. And Mary Lou McDonald, you know, she did, after the last elections in 2019, come back, listen to the party. Remember that big Ardèche speech she had? There was a reset. So there is the potential that they could rebound again.
In 2019, she looked fairly shook, you know, after that election.
Have we seen her yesterday or today?
No, I have to say, it felt that Sinn Féin had very much gone to ground. I was in the RDS yesterday. People were walking around looking for pretty much any Sinn Féin to have that chat, just for, you know, balanced coverage. But there was not that many to be found. And also, I was trying to get some tallies. They were being a bit secretive about their tallies, which for me, I was like, sure, everyone's going to know at the end of the day. So there's no need. But I did get the feeling there was a very somber mood anyway, from the people I was speaking to, that they were quite, you know, disappointed. But looking at some of those tallies, running four, you know, in some of those constituencies, and they'd really split the vote from different people I'd seen. You know, they were there on 4 or 5% across four different candidates. Do you know what?
Yeah,
they're really putting the legs from under themselves.
I think, you know, we're very pleased, obviously, in Fine Gael with the results, we can't get distracted from the issues that people are talking about.
Yeah,
and that needs ongoing solutions, whether that's housing, migration, disability, the kind of areas that we've taken action on, particularly since Simon came in, that decision making over the last 61 days. But, you know, you can't take your eye off, in terms of a general election, you cannot take your eye off dealing with those issues and delivery.
And I know, think another issue.
It's a short time to October, November. So we have to keep that in mind as well. But of course, the politics of the day and the budget and the response will influence, you know, those decisions.
Yeah. And with the best will in the world, you call it distraction. Another issue could be hubris. You know, there's a, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but it happens to all political parties. There's a momentum builds up. You know, they might see these results. I'm not just talking about Fine Gael, I'm talking about Fianna Fáil as well. They might see these results and there might be a tendency to think, oh, we're going okay here. And the electorate's always ready. I love the Irish electorate. They're always ready to prove polls, the commentary.
Well, there's the question, Mandy, that in a lot of the Dublin constituencies, insofar as the first count tallies that were coming in on last night, it was under 45% of the vote. In the general election, you can take it that all of those constituencies will have 65%. So there was 20% of people not in the ballot boxes that will be there. Now, I'm not going to start predicting what way they'd vote, but I'm just saying it's a different game.
But is the sense that maybe it's the Sinn Féin vote that stayed away?
Who stayed away from this election is an interesting
question. But I think Francis made one very important point. If you know, regardless of what people would say about the immigration and migration issues, it's a huge issue. And I honestly think that people were taken by what Simon and Micheál and what they have done in the last few weeks, that they were taking action. But it's a huge, huge issue. And I think all over the country, I was in Killarney at a meeting, and you know, I was up in the border counties in Cavan and in North Leitrim. It's an issue all over the place. And it's not that people are saying this, that or the other, but it's a huge issue.
But it's a genuine concern, I think, Bertie, about capacity. And it's all over Europe. And that's why that pact is really important. Because, you know, look where we've got without a European approach to it. And there's no doubt it is getting, if I say use the word stricter, I mean, the assessments have to be done quicker. More money has to be put in. People are concerned about the capacity of local areas in terms of GPs, services. And I think decision making is needed far more quickly. We really haven't been big on deportations, but if people, you know, are not entitled to be here, there are going to be more deportations.
No. Can I just bring you in here, Christine, just on the point Francis is making there about Simon Harris. Okay, there's not fully fledged solutions, but there is a plan. People like to see a plan. And what these results are showing is they think at least he has a plan. He's not solving it, but he's doing stuff about it.
Yeah, I spoke to a few people in the run up to the election, and they were saying that Simon Harris seemed to be able to achieve something with migration that Leo Varadkar didn't really want to touch and go to a place.
And now, it could be the same for Sinn Féin, actually.
Yeah, and look, whether people at home agree or don't disagree with the perhaps what people are calling a hardline approach on it. Obviously, the polls are showing that some people are in favour of it, but I think it definitely is going to be a major issue over the next number of months. But I think the budget, I think, is going to be absolute key here, because when I was out on the canvas, migration actually wasn't coming up when I was out with different candidates. One of the biggest issues that was coming up was still cost of living, still the cost of energy bills and housing as well. A lot of, you know, well-to-do areas that I was out with different candidates with Fine Gael saying, you know, we work hard, we have a very high mortgage, and we, at the end of the month, don't have much to show for it. And I think that's where actually it's going to have to be addressed. You know, when all said and done, those issues are still there.
Sean, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, just to go back to your point on why the timing of the election is so interesting. The electorate don't like to be played for fools. You cut early just because you're doing well in the polls.
Exactly.
Through that and give you a kick. Yeah. And if you give a giveaway budget and then cut straight away, they'll, you know.
That's my delivery. I agree with you, Sean. Delivery is really important. And, you know, signs of delivery along the way. I think there's another point as well about leadership at a government level. I mean, Bertie will know this better than most. Bringing departments together and finding solutions is a particular skill. And I think that, as Taoiseach, Simon has shown he has that in spades, actually. And that is going to make a difference over the next few months, because it isn't simply about, say, leadership within Fine Gael or for Micheál Martin within Fianna Fáil. It's about that, you know, government leadership and decision-making that's so important.
So, Francis, final word from you on this. The timing of the general election, when do you think that's going to be?
Genuinely, people have not decided. There's no question, I would say, in government, they do not know when they're going to do
when
that.
When do you think it should be then?
I think probably towards the end of the year is, you know, it does kind of make sense. We've had bad experience with February elections, but then that is a very short time away. And the Taoiseach has consistently said, and I heard Micheál Martin saying it, that we're going to go to March of next year. Not right. February, Bertie, March.
Well, let's go completely crazy and leapfrog even over the general election and look to the presidential election. Is that something you could see yourself running on a Fine Gael ticket for?
Well, I've always taken the view, you know, you take one election at a time. There's a few elections now to come before that. And let's see where we're all at that point. I don't rule things out in politics. People, you know, politicians tend not to. But, you know, that's a very different type of election and a tough one.
But not a no anyway.
Pardon?
Not a no now.
No, I've always kept an open mind in politics. I've loved being in Europe for the last 5 years, but I really, you know, wanted to complete that and come back and work in Ireland with Fine Gael.
And what about you, Bertie? Would you like to run on a Fine Gael ticket?
I want to stay alive. my main priority now is to stay alive and see the election, whether it's November or February.
That's a very good philosophy, Bertie.
Very good, yeah. And so say all of us. Well, look, I've really enjoyed talking to you all this morning. And look, we've sadly run out of time. We could probably stay here for another couple of hours doing it. But that's it for this episode of Taking Stock. We'll be back with our normal programme next week with our mix of international and Irish business and politics. Thanks very much to all of my guests today, Iarr Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern, Francis Fitzgerald, Tommy Gorman, Christina Finn, our own Sean Defoe and Jonathan O'Brien, former Sinn Féin TD. The producer of Taking Stock today was John Fardy, Stephen Daunt and Simon Keymore on research, and Hugo De Silva Scott was, as ever, on sound. If you've got any comments on today's show, do email us at takingstock@newstalk.com.
Taking Stock, Elections 2024.
Brought to you by PwC. Combining deep industry expertise with next generation technology to drive business success. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
This is News Talk.